This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Jungle Deep. The podcast that explores the tropical lifestyle. Hello and welcome to the podcast Jungle Deep. This is your host, Dr. Jones. We are on safari, and I'm here with you to learn, to have fun, and to explore the jungle. Going to have a conversation with orangutan crusader Ali Boyer, but first, enjoy an excerpt of Cries of the River from the Enchanted Forest album.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Put on a perfectly possum pet party. Having an awesome birthday or adoption day celebration for your four-legged friend? Or just want a fun excuse to throw a fun party with your friends from the dog park? Deck out your party with Molly and Bandit Pet Party Accessories. Party products designed specifically for pets. There are wearables, including adjustable pet party hats, bow ties, and tutus. The photo prop kits include funny glasses and hats. The party supplies and decorations include coordinating table covers, party banners, cake decorations, and treat bowls, cups, and bags. Everything you need to create great memories and Instagram-worthy photos. They're available in two colorful themes, Tropical and Fireman. It's a dog's life. Celebrate it with Molly and Bandit Pet Party at mollyandbanditpetparty.com/petlife.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Jungle Deep. I am a wildlife warrior, a conservation crusader, a Gaia geek in the tribe of Tarzan. This is Dr. Jones. We have some terrific guests coming on future episodes. Promised to our listeners for many, many weeks now, in February, we will feature our conversation with the one I call the real Tarzan of Africa. DeWitt DeToy is his name, and DeWitt lives in Africa and has been in training for Tarzan for years now. He has an amazing and inspiring story to tell. Don't miss it. Also coming up are conversations with the author Scott Tracy Griffin, the creator of the literary centerpiece of the centennial celebration of this past year for Tarzan, a beautiful coffee table book entitled Tarzan, the Centennial Celebration. And our field correspondent for Tropical Food and Drink, Kelly Patterson, will be telling us all about oranges. Beautiful, delicious oranges originally came from the rainforest, you know. You can learn more about our fascinating scheduled guest in the coming up section of our homepage at jungledeep.com. Now we get to have a conversation with the one I call a rock star of conservation, the orangutan's best friend, Allie Boyer. She is a 14-year-old who cares about wildlife and decided to do something about species extinction. Allie has raised thousands of dollars to help save orangutans. I consider Allie and her mom, Pam, to be inspirations for all of us. And Allie has proven that children can do important things to help save endangered species. Share this story with your children. In fact, Allie is looking for helpers. She'll be happy to show you how to get a chapter of her fundraising project she calls Purses for Primates. Just ask her. Today we're talking with Allie and Pam Boyer. Allie Boyer is the fundraiser for orangutans, which we know are an endangered species. We've talked about orangutans on this podcast before. And Allie's one of their best friends. She's been out there for the last 7 years working to raise funds to help these animals. So, Allie, are you there?
Hi.
Hey, hello. And Allie's mother, Pam, is with us too, I believe. Are you there, Pam?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Terrific. You guys sound great. I'm so pleased to be able to talk to you because you've been up to a lot of good. I want to ask you, Allie, now just to confirm that you're not a midget woman, right? You are, as I understand, a 14-year-old student. Is that right?
Yes.
So you're the real thing. And you started this when you were 7 years old. Is that right?
Back in the second grade.
Second grade. My goodness. All right. Well, is that when you got interested in orangutans? Is back in second grade? How did you get interested in those apes?
I read the book Ghost Kitten. Coco's actually a gorilla. She does sign language. But once I read about her, I started looking into more things about apes. And I found out online about the orangutans and how they're endangered. And then I wanted to help them by fundraising and spreading the word.
And why orangutans? You were taken with the apes and the stories you had read about the gorillas?
Mm-hmm. They're very gentle. They're not as aggressive as some other of the apes, so I guess they're the more peaceful ones out of the bunch.
That's true, yeah. Did you know from the beginning that they were an endangered species?
Not at first. We were doing some reading, and we learned about palm oil and the palm oil plantations, so ever since then, that's when it all took off.
Have you actually adopted an orangutan through one of these organizations?
I did through World Wildlife and maybe third grade, I think. But it was really cool. I got updates on how they were doing for a while.
And also, we adopted one through Orangutan Outreach, Dodo. She did that through a school project. We went around for National Orangutan Awareness Week, which is in November, and got three different schools in our school district to adopt an orangutan, and her school, where she went to elementary school, adopted Dodo.
I see. So this orangutan was named Dodo, and you adopted the orangutan in combination with fellow students at your school.
Yes.
I see. And what was that like, having an adopted orangutan?
It was really cool. I think the kids really liked to see pictures of it around school. Obviously not, you know, symbolically adopting orangutan, not actually having one there.
Sure. And what that meant is that you sent away some money to help support the care of this animal that was in captivity, right?
Yes. It goes towards helping medical bills or getting food, basically taking care of their basic needs for when they're at the center.
As I understand how it works, these orangutans are still in Borneo or Sumatra.
They are at the centers, like places like the Naramentang Center. It's a center for orphaned orangutans that have lost their mothers, and they teach them what they need to do to be released back into the wild.
So let me ask you, did Purses for Primates come about the same time, way back in second and third grade, or did that come along later?
I started that in maybe 10th grade, but before then it was mostly fundraising and raising awareness about palm oil and the orangutans. In 7th grade or so, that's when the Purses for Primates started.
I see. So what did you do before you, well, we should tell our listeners, Purses for Primates, what is that?
I collect gently used purses, scarves, and jewelry, resell them at purse parties, and then give all the money to the orangutans.
So this is your name for your own campaign, where you recycle purses and jewelry and such to raise funds for this purpose?
Yeah.
How did you help out the orangutans before you came up with the purses for primates idea? What were you doing back then?
Mostly just letting everyone know about what's going on with the orangutans, why they're endangered, and how they can help. Whenever I'd have a class project, it would all mostly be about orangutans. My classmates were getting pretty tired of it. So
it's been like your favorite subject for quite a while, huh?
I had the same classmates all throughout elementary school, so they got to hear about it a lot.
Like it or not, here we go again. Well, how did you come up with the idea of purses for primates? How did you come up with that idea?
My mom and I were shopping in Carmel and Monterey. We were looking at all the shops down there, and we saw that people were making quite a bit of money off of purses and other things like that in boutiques, and we thought it would be a good idea for a way to raise money.
You thought people might donate used purses for that purpose?
Yeah.
Apparently it worked. How did you go about trying it for the first time?
We did a lot of promoting around town and on Facebook telling people about it. And the news did, the local news here did a announcement, I think. And we had it at one of the clubs here in town, the Chico Women's Center.
And how was that? How did it go?
It went very good. We raised about $500 the first time.
$500 the first time? Uh-huh. Well, that's great. And you must have had quite a few purses donated to raise that.
Yeah, I think we had over 200 around the first party, I think. But now we have about 400 purses.
Wow. Do people, drive them over to you, send them to you in the mail, or do they come to your event and donate them there? How do you get these purses?
All kinds of ways. People send them in from all over the country, or we also do local pickup. We have also gotten donations at parties, too.
So you announce a party. What's that like? Is it in somebody's home, or is it at the zoo, or where do you do these purse parties?
Sometimes in front of the zoo, but other times different places around town have a place, have a venue.
And you advertise it on Facebook, putting up flyers and that kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, we also go around town to give flyers to local businesses or to put up in doctor's offices.
Wow. How many of these do you think you've done so far?
We've had about five parties, I believe.
Yeah.
Five parties so far.
Yeah. Maybe more.
Do you know how many purses have you found a new home for?
Yeah, probably about 300.
Wow, really? Wow, that's terrific. Along the way, have you been at all surprised at how strange some of these purses are?
Yes. We've gotten some, like one was wicker pig purse, and it was literally a wicker pig.
Wicker pig purse?
Yeah. My brother actually bought that one.
Yeah. When this is all over, maybe you can open a purse museum or something.
Yeah. All the really weird ones going. Also, Betty White donated a purse.
I heard that.
Yeah. She.
How did she know what you were up to?
Oh, I wrote her a letter.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It was amazing. Within like a week, we got a purse in the mail.
Terrific. How much did that purse go for?
About $100.
Ah.
On eBay.
Good. Did you say on eBay?
Yeah, we sometimes sell the more high-end purses on eBay.
I see. So you're using eBay also. Do you have other outlets? Is there anything else, any other way you have of selling these purses?
Now, Facebook has a marketplace, I guess. I'm trying to figure out how to use it. I thought I was more computer savvy, but when I'm trying to do this stuff for kind of promoting, I find that I'm not as computer savvy as I could be. But apparently, through Facebook, they have something that's like Craigslist, so you can sell things on there. I would like for her. I just have not figured it out yet.
Yeah, I didn't know that Facebook, I didn't even know they had a marketplace.
Yeah, so as soon as I figure that out, we'll have it up and running, because we do get requests quite a bit through Facebook, people that don't live in the area that would love to be able to buy a purse from her. So that was what started us doing it through eBay. And eBay has a charity works, so it doesn't cost us anything for us to list the item on eBay. However, PayPal still charges us, and we always pick up those costs because Ollie likes to be able to say it's truly 100% of the profits go to the orangutans. We've always had to pay for any supplies that's needed for the party or for the venue sometimes. We pick places that give a discount to nonprofits, but we've always had to pay that portion of it. She refuses to let us take any money from the purse sales to pay for, even though we try and convince her that that is how nonprofits run.
Yes, right. Well, the day will have to come, I think, when you're going to have to cover your overhead. Mom and Dad aren't going to be able to do this forever.
Always, no. Well, it's still been kind of small of them. It's not
right.
Bad,
well, for now, it's your contribution to the orangutans.
Right.
Now, you didn't know when you started out a family that you're also going to be taking on, hundreds of orangutans as well, did you?
It's very nice. We've met some really incredible people through this, so I feel like quite lucky.
Well, it's turning into a national effort, isn't it?
We hope so. Yeah.
Did I read that there's other zoos around the country that have contributed or collected purses for your project?
Yeah, the Brookfield Zoo in Illinois did a big purse drive, and then they sent over like 400 purses in these huge boxes. It was really cool.
Wow. Do you think you can find customers for all the purses you get?
Maybe. There has to be someone out there.
Yeah, some of the purses that we've joked that, oh my goodness, this one is very interesting and no one will buy it. And a few of those, we said that, were the very first purses to go when we were at a party at the Sacramento Zoo. So every purse has a home.
You know, I think that's probably true. I know when working with animals that sometimes the ugliest, the poor ugly little critter will, or fish, is true with tropical fish as well. Sometimes the strange ones actually find a home first. People fall in love with them. I guess that can happen with purses. Well, so you're going full steam ahead on this, huh? You've got 400 or more purses hanging around that you're finding homes for. And how much money do you think you've been able to raise so far with this effort?
So far, I've raised over $6,000.
Whoa, that's terrific.
Thank you.
And on top of that, now you're going into the antique business. How did that happen?
Good family friend of ours found out that he had Parkinson's, and he donated a bunch of his collections to me to resell to help the orangutans more.
Wow. Have you gotten additional donations since then?
Not of antiques, no. And he's given us so much. We're still going through that. We sell those on eBay. Uh-huh. Some of the items he gave us we'll probably put in an estate sale that we're going to have, because they're huge and they're too hard to ship. He gave us some antique tools and like a military footlocker, things that he's been collecting for years. He's kind of like an American picker, you know. He's got a very good eye for finding interesting things. His donations have been quite generous. He gave us an oil can that went for like $300 or $400 on eBay. So that was exciting.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's terrific. Allie, who helps you with all this?
My mom helps a lot with business parts of it. I'm slowly being able to do more and more of it. Hopefully I'll be able to take over all of the parts of it. Also, my friend Natalie, she helps with a lot of the first parties. We've been together since the second grade when this all started, so she's like the best volunteer.
That's terrific. Well, she's a really good friend if she stayed with you all this time through all this monkey business, huh?
Yeah.
Well, great. And I want to tell our listeners, we're going to have many wonderful pictures helping to tell this story, pictures of Natalie and pictures of Allie on the show notes page for this episode. Do you find other kids interested in what you're doing, or do you find it hard to get kids interested?
Yeah, I think that sometimes I'll meet people who are interested in animals, but not really wanting to help. I think it's really, I was really excited to be able to find Natalie. It was so incredibly helpful. I'm happy that someone I would want to be able to be interested in this as much as I am. I did just recently join the Roots and Shoots Leadership Council, though, and that is a group of teenagers of high schoolers from all over the world that are a part of Roots. They all are kids like me that help the environment.
Right, yes. Roots and Shoots. That's the program started by
Jane Goodall,
the famous primatologist. Yes.
Yeah.
Listening to
Jungle Deep. Deep.
Hello, this is Dr. Jones. I believe that the destruction of the tropical rainforest is humankind's greatest environmental problem. Not climate change, not pollution, not nuclear waste, not food production, not a whole host of topics you could add to the list. I care about these things, and I have to admit that climate change and the depletion of the oceans have my particular attention. But I know that the destruction of the tropical rainforest is number one. Now, I would not be surprised if you told me that none of the people around you in your daily life are doing anything to help save the remaining tropical rainforest. We obviously have to change this situation. Many people do not take action on this issue because they are confused about what to do. Confusion breeds inaction. Well, I have a solution. Visit the Jungle Deep website and look in the directory at the top of the show homepage for my new article called How Can I Help Save the Rainforest? It includes my 5 steps to saving the rainforest. It's simple, direct, clear-cut. Oh, I probably shouldn't have used that expression. It's direct and it's simple. Anyone can follow these steps, and everyone should. Get a copy into the hands of everyone around you. At the very least, it's a great conversation starter. And together, when there is enough of us taking action, we will save both humanity and the planet. Read and print out the list, 5 Steps to Saving the Rainforest, from the Jungle Deep website. Go to jungledeep.com and click in the directory on How Can I Help Save the Rainforest?
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
What if you could protect the life of your cat with something so simple and affordable that you already use every day? Get ready for the evolution of kitty litter. It's Pretty Litter. Along with all the features you've come to expect from your kitty litter, Pretty Litter's patented and scientific formula will also monitor your cat's health and detect illnesses early while providing industry-leading odor control. 2 kitty litters, same cat, same price. But there's one important difference. Pretty Litter reacts to your cat's waste by detecting health issues simply by changing color. And the key is that Pretty Litter detects these issues before your cat shows symptoms of physical illness or pain, likely saving you major dollars in vet bills while protecting the health of your cat. What do you think, little guy? Ready to switch litter? Pretty Litter. Colorful insight into your cat's health.
Go to prettylittercats.com/cat101 or use coupon code CAT101 to get 20% off your first subscription order.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Now, more of
Jungle Deep.
Do you have any ideas of how we can get kids more interested in helping to save endangered animals?
I think most of them don't really know that it's such a big problem. Like when I tell people that the orangutans are endangered, mostly they just know that the population is low. They don't really know why or what's causing it or how they can help. I think mainly just getting information out there so that people know what's going on, then they would maybe want to help more.
So education, getting more information out to the general public. I find with grown-ups, confusion. A lot of people are a little confused because they hear all kinds of things all the time, you know, in bits and pieces over the different media, and they're just not too sure what to believe or what the facts are. And if they're confused, that's a good excuse to not do anything at all. And I think we all understand that feeling. That's probably true of kids, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think kids also don't realize that they can actually make a difference. I have people tell me all the time that they've changed the way they buy groceries because of Allison, because ever since she started this in the second grade and learning about palm oil, she would talk to them and explain to them what it was doing, and then they start realizing. They do like what we did, which was go into our cupboards and realize that a lot of the stuff in our house was destructive to the rainforest. So I think just sometimes just letting people know. She did a science fair experiment, I think third grade, asking people if they knew that the products that they were buying were contributing to the death of an animal, would they change their shopping habits? And, you know, we asked in 2 different locations. Unfortunately, one of them was at the college where we live here. And the college students were not willing to give up their cheap products in order to save an animal. And that was a little disheartening for a third grader. And we had a gentleman tell us, you know, rather rudely that the people in Indonesia want us to farm palm oil there and they want us to do that because that's helping them. And at that age, even I knew that that wasn't true, that the villagers are really the victims over there.
Part of the experiment was that I had pictures of orangutans too, saying, this is the animal, this is what it's harming. This is the animals that are being affected by this. And most people still said that they would buy the products. That was surprising.
How much has Orangutan Outreach helped you in your effort?
They've helped me a lot. We wrote to several different places when I was first starting out about this to see if they could help me try and get the word out more, ask some questions on how I can make a good place to start. And Richard Zimmerman, who runs Orangutan Outreach, or the American branch of the Orangutan Outreach, he was the only one to write back, and he took such an interest in what I was doing, and he was so excited that I wanted to help out. I thought it was really neat that he was so interested.
And supportive.
And supportive, yeah.
So they've been very encouraging.
Yes.
Have they helped to bring some attention to your activities, too?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I think he's the reason why the Brookfield Zoo got involved, because he posted about her and her cause. And he's, Orangutan Outreach has a Facebook page as well that you can follow. And multidimensional people from all over post things that they know or stories that they've heard. And Rich posts things and other people that are involved directly with the organization. So it's a really good network. And fortunate that he's allowed Allie to kind of come into that fold.
Well, that's great to have a support of an organization like that. You're helping to support their organization as well.
Yeah, yes.
It's a good partnership. Well, everyone should be partnering up with some organization to help these animals because, well, as you know so well, the tropical rainforests around the world are being destroyed. They're shrinking all the time, and there's just no place for these animals to live sometimes.
Yeah.
It's tragic, and we don't want to live in a world where all these animals have gone extinct. I mean, what kind of world would that be? But we're sure headed that direction, and we need to do more things. And I think, Allie, you're such a good example of what people can make a difference. They can do things. Even young people, even children can get involved, and they have a lot more power than they even realize. So we have to give them examples, and we have to give them encouragement. And that's certainly something you're doing, and I think it's just terrific.
Thank you. I think most kids, they try and they just get discouraged. Like, I remember lots of times I would try and talk to adults of what palm oil was and what I was doing, and mostly they would just be kind of like, oh, yes, that's great, you know. They're not really taking me seriously because I was a kid. Mm. But I think more people spoke out about it than maybe more would listen.
Yeah, one thing's for sure, if kids can get together and work together to do these things, they'll get people paying more attention to them than trying to do it all by yourself.
Yeah.
Well, do you think you'll keep working to help save orangutans into the future? Do you have any idea how long you want to do this?
Definitely. When I'm older, I want to get a job with environmental sustainability.
Mm-hmm. You want to do some kind of work, environmental sustainability. Do you know what group you want to work with or exactly what you want to do with that? It's a big topic.
Not yet, no.
Yeah, well, you have time to figure it out. You still have some time. Do you think you'll continue to work with orangutans into the future, or are you looking at, I mean, there's a lot of animals that need help. Are there other animals that have your interest?
I'm mostly going to focus on the orangutans.
Do you ever think that you might rather be in the field working with them personally than being here in the United States raising money to help them?
That's hard. I would really like to be over there helping them at maybe one of the centers or somewhere, but if I was there, then I wouldn't be able to be out spreading the word, telling people that they need to stop doing this. I would rather make sure that people are well informed and stop buying palm oil, cut it off at the source, than be over there. But I would like to someday go over to Borneo.
Yeah, it might be fun to do a little of both, huh? It sure be fun to work with the animals. But the work you're doing here is just as important as anything any scientists are doing out in the jungles, that's for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, it is very important. I started this podcast because I think informing people and encouraging people to do more to help the environment is really, really important work and something we haven't done enough of in the past, apparently. What are your plans for the future regarding purses for primates and antiques for apes? Do you have any other projects in mind?
My mom and I actually wrote a book called Allie and the Orangutan. I illustrated it, and my mom wrote it. It should be out soon with Kindles and ebooks.
Wow, that's cool. That must have been fun to do.
It was really fun.
So you're going to get into publishing now.
Yeah,
well, no, we just thought a children's book would be a good idea. Another layer of fundraising as well. 50% of the proceeds from the book will go to Orangutan Outreach, and then the other 50% is going to go into Purses for Primates to help her with the business end of it to cover kind of some of her overhead. So that's good.
That's cool. And it's coming out first as an e-book, huh?
Yeah, we are going to eventually get some printed. I think we might have a sponsor that is willing to help us pay for the initial printing. Her grandmother is quite the supporter. She'd like to see those in print, so I think that we might have a
the grandma sponsorship there. So that's good.
Sounds like a real family effort.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Some family members have kind of been pulled into this, I imagine.
Yeah, sometimes the family has been some of our best customers, but then they end up taking the best purses before we have the parties because they want to see private previews. And, you know, we have quite a few aunts and nieces, and my aunt and my cousin have enjoyed first pick. So I guess it's good to know Allie.
Well, it's always good to have contacts, you know, to the top, you know. That's why Allie and I are becoming friends. You know, I want to be sure, not that I'm that interested in purses, actually, but I like having friends in high places.
Yeah.
Well, that's terrific. I wouldn't be surprised if this leads to maybe your own TV show or maybe your own podcast. Have you ever thought about doing a podcast?
Yeah.
You could do that.
We tried, I think back in third grade, fourth grade, maybe. We tried setting up one, but we had a great name for it. It was ApeCast. And we had grand ideas, but again, my technology or lack thereof got in the way. We hope to be getting a Mac computer soon, and then it might be a little easier for her. I just wanted to be able to interview primate keepers at the zoos and find out what they're doing for enrichment and talk to different people. And it sounded like a fantastic idea that we were really tried, but it just did not work.
Ah.
Our meager technology here in our town is not good, so we're still
It is a good idea, and I do know, being a Mac person myself, I think you'll find a new Mac will make it very easy, thanks to Mac and the GarageBand and just modern technology. These computers have come such a long ways. It will actually be probably pretty easy for you to do, and I think it's a great idea. I think it's a wonderful idea, and maybe we can share podcasts a little more often in the months and years ahead.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, that's terrific. I'm wondering, Allie, do you have a favorite jungle movie or wildlife movie that's a favorite of yours?
Probably Avatar or the chimpanzee movie that Disney just made.
Oh, I don't know about that one. What's that one about?
The chimpanzee one?
Yeah.
It's called Chimpanzee. Disney partnered with the Jane Goodall Institute, and all the ticket and movie sales that went for that movie went to go to Jane Goodall's.
Not all of them. It was like we did that for a week, but it was in the Congo.
Yeah. It videotaped a baby chimpanzee living with its mother. Mother was killed, but then the baby was actually taken in by the alpha male, which was really, really rare. It was a really cool documentary.
Has that been released yet to the public?
Yeah, it was in the movie theaters. Tim Allen did the voiceover for it.
Well, I've definitely got to... Thanks for telling us about that. At least it's new to me. I'm going to have to be on the lookout for that. Do you remember what it's called?
It's called Chimpanzee.
Oh.
We all joke that, of course, Disney picked it up because the mom died. So, typical Disney movie.
Well, that's great. I'll have to check that out. I'm wondering, now that you've become famous... Have you heard, Allie, of other kids doing similar things? Do you know of any other kids in the country raising money on an ongoing basis to help wildlife?
Let's see, my mom's friend, her daughter is going to get involved in things like purses for primates. They might actually have a purse party over there, which I think would be really good because I'm hoping this can go national someday. So
this is the beginnings of chapters for your project.
It is, definitely. Well, she has had the opportunity to meet two really amazing girls, Maddie and Rhiannon, and she's on the Roots and Shoots Youth Council with them. They've been in the news quite a bit as well. They are Girl Scouts, and they're trying to get the Girl Scouts to stop using palm oil in their cookies.
Mm-hmm.
They've done quite a bit. In fact, they made it all the way to the CEOs of Girl Scouts and talking to them and the bakers. So it shows that kids really can make a difference. They never left the Girl Scouts. They decided they wanted to fight from within. They're excellent, you know, representation of what a Girl Scout is. They were able to do things properly through the channels and get the attention of the higher-ups in the organization. And the Girl Scouts are looking at using a different oil. They are right now currently trying to use oil that is through the RSPO. I don't know if you're familiar with that, the Roundtable for Sustainable Palm Oil.
Oh, yes, yes. Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, a lot of people in the organizations like Orangutan Outreach and others don't really feel like the RSPO is strong enough. The rules aren't followed. You know, it's sort of like a facade, you know, because people would love to be able to say that I bought this palm oil from a sustainable source. But there's really, it's difficult for them to check that.
I see. Well, I had heard about that effort Girl Scouts were making, and I thought they had made progress on that. It seems to me like a really appropriate thing for the Girl Scouts to do.
Right.
You're in touch with the leaders of that effort, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's great. And in fact, if people listening to this podcast wanted to start a chapter in their area of doing this Purses for Primates, a kind of project to raise funds for the orangutans, or maybe one day for other wildlife as well, can they feel free to get in touch with you and learn more about how they should go about it?
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to have this go further.
It sounds simple. I bet it's not as simple as it sounds. I can imagine it's a lot of work. I've seen the photos of your living room with these 400 purses everywhere.
It's
like it might be a major inconvenience.
It's not too bad. It hasn't been too bad.
It's a great activity. You're recycling, you're reusing, and you're raising money to help endangered wildlife.
Yep.
And I think it's fantastic. And I would encourage any young person or even an older person that would like to make a difference, this is a good activity, a good way to go. There might be a lot of other things that could be recycled in the same way, and the funds help out endangered wildlife.
Yeah, we've really noticed that, especially in the times when the economy is tough, that people can't always give money, but they usually can give their things, you know, used items that they're not using anymore. We've had a really positive feedback from people who always wanted to help but didn't feel like they had enough. They feel silly putting $5 in the mail, but they're willing to give us 3 or 4 purses. And it does make a difference. It really adds up. The money that she's raised, the purses that she gets, she does not price them very high, you know, anywhere from $1 up to $20. Some of the nicer ones have gone for more than that. Those nickels and dimes add up, and we end up being able to give Orangutan Outreach pretty substantial checks. So people shouldn't feel overwhelmed or feel like they can't make a difference.
That's a really good point. And Allie, I'd like to close with asking you kind of a similar question. What would you say to anyone who says they don't feel their personal effort will really make any difference? What do you say to people like that?
I say that even though if it's a small contribution or a large one, every person doing something makes a huge difference. Because if everyone does something, or one little thing or a big thing, it all adds up. And if we all join together, then it will be a lot easier.
Allie and Pam, I want to thank you too for joining me today for this podcast and telling us how you've been raising thousands of dollars to help orphan orangutans. It's a wonderful program. It's been very interesting to hear about this, and I appreciate you spending your time with us. Where can we get more information? Those that want to take this a step further and either contact you or learn more about your projects, how can they get in touch with you and learn about these things?
You can email me at forestschool101@gmail.com.
That's forest as in the trees, F-O-R-E-S-T.
School, like S-C-H-O-O-L.
101101@gmail.com. And what about your Facebook page? I guess they could search Purses for Primates?
There's 2 pages. One is Purses for Primates with the letters F-O-R, and the other one is Purses for Primates with the number 4. Either pages are good for information, and I post on both of them.
Well, terrific. And we're going to have all this information on our show notes page. With that, I'm going to say goodbye. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you very much for being on Jungle Deep.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, Pam.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
The music in this podcast has been, in the intro, Gerriconda Mix by Ken Jones with Apple Music Loops. Excerpts from my favorite album, Enchanted Forest, Cries of the River and Origins by World Disc Music. And the segment in our episode closing is by Don Tiki called Jungle Julie. Support these wonderful artists by purchasing their music. Environmental education, wildlife preservation, tropical rainforest conservation, all wrapped up in fun, juicy, delicious American jungle culture of the past and present. Be sure to share Jungle Deep Podcast with your friends and coworkers. Audience growth is especially important for Jungle Deep to succeed and prosper, so share the show. You can see beautiful photos and learn more about Jungle Deep at our website, jungledeep.com. You gotta check it out. Where else can you go for this kind of fun? Our show notes pages have valuable links for you. I invite you to email me at ken@jungledeep.com or follow me on Twitter. Search for Jungle Deep or KenJones56, all one word. I would love to hear your ideas for the show. Well, the show's over for today, so it's time to refill my Mai Tai, mount my elephant, and head back into the jungle.
Let's Talk Pets. every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.